All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Ayin Aleph 71. We are picking up from the Mishnah on Ayin Amud Beis 70b, four lines up from the bottom. The shir this month is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in memory of Sol and Floret Pollack, Sarah Bas Avraham, Shmuel Ben Zechariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So let's begin. Boleshes shenichnas aliyir. So we'll say if you have a, now Boleshes is an army, but you know, not a whole army. I don't know, a battalion, right? A battalion enters into the city. So what happens? We're talking over here about a Gentile army. So the shayla, of course, becomes Rashi says chel alshim shemechapsin v'chosrin karle boleshes. So when they come into the city, generally, again, what they're coming is they're coming in order to also go ahead and very often take the possessions of the city. So what happens? So b'shas shalom, if there's a general time of peace, chavios psuchos asuros, open barrels will be asur because of yayin esach, stumos mutaros. So I'll say the assumption is that in the time of shalom, so what happens? When the army comes in, so they'll take anything that's open. They're not going to start popping open barrels, so they'll take whatever they want that's open, and therefore any open barrel to which they have access, ultimately, again, will be asur. Any closed barrel will remain mutar. B'shas milchama, but if it's a time of war, elu v'elu mutaros, then I will say again, both types of barrel, both closed barrels and open barrels are mutar. Why? L'fishin p'nai l'nasech. I will say it's actually quite interesting. Because at the end of the day, they don't have time to go out and make it into yayin esach. I will say, what does that mean? That since it's wartime, so therefore, again, we don't assume that there's any kind of yayin esach. Because it's wartime, we don't assume that they're engaged in idolatry. They're otherwise occupied in war. Okay, top of ayin aleph. Sigmar says, or mini. Sigmar says, but we raise a kasha. Ir shekavshua karkum. But say if a city was conquered by a foreign Gentile army, so what's the halacha? The halacha is called kohanos shebesocha psulos. But say all the kohanim's wives in that city are going to be asur. We've actually seen this case before. This is a more involved case than the way the Gemara is making it out to be over here. What the Gemara is pointing out to Moshe is as follows. That's when a city is occupied by a warring Gentile army, there is a concern that they will violate the women of the city. So if a Yisraelis ultimately again is violated, then halacha lemaisa, again, she's still permitted to her husband. If a koheness is violated, the wife of a kohen is violated, she becomes asura to her husband. So therefore, the Gemara says, if a city is invaded by a Gentile army, so the wives of the kohanim are asuros to their husband. So I'll say, so why is this a shayla? So you just told me before that when it's a time of milchama, the akum focuses on nothing else but war. Therefore, again, the wine is not yayin esach. But over here we see that the wives of the Kohanim are still going to be asuros, to which the Gemara says, Amrav Mari, Lenasech ein pinai, Livol yesh pinai. Okay, so we'll say, so for God, there's no time. But ultimately, again, for Bia, there's time. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that, again, in times of war, the Akum will not find the time for his idolatry, but he will find the time, ultimately, again, for immorality. Which, I will say, by the way, happens to be an incredible, incredible yisod, which is one of the most common refrains heard throughout the course of the day, is when people say, I don't have time. I will say, what the Gemara is teaching us is as follows. You have time for whatever you want to have time for. If you don't have time, it's because the particular item is not a priority. It's because at the end of the day, it's not important enough to you. Right? If it's important, if it needs to get done, then you find the time to do it. It's just important. We'll say these, nothing more important in life than being honest with oneself. So if something doesn't get done because you quote unquote didn't have time, that means it just wasn't a priority. Whether it means that your spouse is not a priority, the kids are not a priority, your family's not a priority, whatever it is, if there's no time, it means that translation is, it's unimportant enough to carve out time. The Akum doesn't have time for his God, but ultimately, again, he does have time to satisfy his desires. We have time for the things that are important to us and the things that we want to make time for. Says the Mishnah. There's actually a very interesting case. I'm a Jewish worker, and I work for an akum, totally unrelated to wine, nothing to do with wine. I just work for an akum. What happens? It's payday, and what does he do? he sends me a very nice barrel of Yayin Nesach. It says here, right, take the barrel of Yayin Nesach. It's worth a lot of money, maybe even worth more than what I'm supposed to get paid. It doesn't matter. I mean, the goal is that at least it represents my wages. So go ahead and take the wine as your payment. So we'll say, obviously, I don't want the wine as my payment because I can't get hana from Yayin Nesach. So what happens? So what could I do? Mutar Lomar, I could say back to the Akum, Tain Lanu Es Dameha. So ultimately, again, do me a favor. You take the wine, you sell it off, and you go ahead and you give me the proceeds from the sale. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Mutar Lomar Lo Tain Lanu Es Dameha, says Rashi, the Halokanula Vu Eno Chayiv Lahen Ela Mos. One second, here's the chat. What are we talking about over here? I didn't acquire the barrel. The case over here is I didn't acquire the wine. Remember, again, I will say, we've seen multiple times before, as long as the Yisrael does not acquire the object of Avodah Zarah, then what? Then what? Then he has the ability, ultimately, again, to give it back. Once the Yisrael is Magbiyat, once the Yisrael takes it, then by definition, again, it becomes Asr Ba'ana in every single way. So therefore, again, the Gemara says over here, Rashi points out, Dehalo Kanula, I did not acquire the wine. V'enu chayiv lahen elamos. And remember again, I was saying, it's not stipulated in my wage agreement that I'm getting paid in Yayin Esach. I'm getting paid in money. It's just obviously the Akum decided to do this tiny lael. Yisrael shenoshab ovi kochavim mana. Machar ovi kochavim, avodas kochavim. Vehevi lo Yayin Esach. Vehevi lo, excuse me, or Yayin Esach. Vehevi lo mutar. But so we've already discussed before that what? Buying Akum. So remember how we passed me aloha lamaisa. If an Akum takes his avodah zara and sells it, I was saying, those proceeds are mutar. Those proceeds are mutar. So an Akum goes ahead and takes his Yayin Nesach, an Akum goes ahead and takes his idol and sells it, those monies are not Avodah Zarah money. So the idea the Mishnah is saying over here is, as long as I did not take possession of the Yayin Nesach, I can give it back to the Akum. Akum, sell it, give me the proceeds of the sale, Shalom al Yisrael. However, Mishnech Nesalir Shusan Aser, obviously once the wine comes into my domain, then what? Then ultimately, again, it's going to be Aser. I own it. Once a Jew owns Yayin Nesach, I will say, there is nothing to do with it. What? But what? But destroy it. Says the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yudam Rav. Rabbi Yudam said the name of Rav. Mutra the Adam Lomar La Ovi Kochavim. This is actually a very interesting case. Say, V'hafis Alai Menas HaMelech. A Jew could say to an Ovi Kochavim, so we'll translate the words, then we'll see what the case is. A Jew could say to an Ovi Kochavim, go out, and do me for V'hafis, I will say literally means, appease my portion of taxes to the king. They both say, now look at Rashi just a moment. Say, it's almost right across. Say, Vafes Alai Menas HaMelech, Arnona, Shahayu Nosnin, Mitvuo Sin, Ubehemo Sehen, Isur, Vistraza Shechai Vlase Samelech Yayun. So also listen to this. They used to have a particular tax that I guess what we would call is like an agricultural tax. Agricultural is the wrong word. A product tax. Meaning, whatever type of business you were in, you had to pay your taxes from that particular commodity. So if I was in livestock, I paid a tax from livestock. If I deal in wine, so I pay a tax from wine. So we'll say, what's the case over here? So ultimately, again, you have a Jew who's a wine dealer. He's a wine dealer. So what happens? He says to his Akum friend, or not his friend, he says to the Akum, right, do me a favor, go ahead and pay the king, pay my tax bill for me, and I'll settle up with you afterwards. But say, what does the Akum do? The Akum goes ahead and pays the taxes, but pays the taxes with what? With Yayin Nesach. Pays taxes with Yayin Nesach. So Rashi says over here. So Afal Gav Dikal Yoyev Hay Ovi Kucham Yayin Nesach Vayisro Pari Damer Kevon Davematze Saluke Shlicha Demalka Bezuzi Ki Yoyev Leikoch Avli Kucham Yayin Nesach Lav Shluchei Diyisro. But listen to this. So the issue over here is, do we have a problem? Because the Ovi Kuchavim paid the Jew's tax bill with what? With Yayin Nesach. Which effectively means what? The Jew has derived Hana from Yayin Nesach. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not a problem. Why? Because they're both saying, you don't have to pay taxes in the commodity. In other words, there is a cash option also. In other words, if you want to pay your taxes in the cash value, the king is more than happy to accept cash in lieu of the commodity. So the fact that the Oved Kochavim decided to go ahead and pay off the Jew's tax bill with Yayinesach, that was his own decision. The Jew would have been just as happy if the Avchum would have given the king $1,000, and I'll settle up with you either with wine or with money afterwards. So because the Jew did not ask the Ovid Kochavim to go ahead and pay the tax bill with Yayinesach, and because the tax bill could have been paid with money, therefore it's not considered as if the Jew benefited from Yayinesach. So may say the Gemara is a kasha. Al yomar adam lo oved kochavim ol tachtai lo otsar. B'yetros here another brisa, and the brisa says that a Jew shouldn't say to an oved kochavim. Literally, Rabbi say ol tachtai means come in under me. In other words, take my place. And again, Rabbi say this is also tax liability. Take my place ultimately again for my tax responsibility. So Rashi Gemara says that a Jew can't say it's an Ovid Kochavim. So we'll say this seems to contradict what we just said before. We just said before that a Hakum can pay off the tax liability of the Jew, and ultimately, again, the Jew can then pay him back, and it's not as if the Jew is benefiting from Yayin Esech. Here it sounds like a Jew cannot say to an Hakum, Ol Tachtai, assume my responsibility for my taxes, and I'll settle up with you afterwards. Amar Le Rav, so Rav said, one second, that's apples and oranges. Ol Tachtai, Lotzer Kamrat, we'll say two different cases. Ol Tachtai literally means what? Actively assume my place. Halo Damya Ella Laha. Ava Omer Lo Maltini Minha Otsar. We'll say ultimately again, Ol Tachtai, we'll say that Lashon of Ol Tachtai is a very strong Lashon. Ol Tachtai literally means pay the debt for me as if I was paying it. Which I will say, in a case of, let's say, where the Jew is a wine merchant, is interpreted to mean what? Is interpreted that the Jew is telling the Akum what? Pay off the tax benefit, the tax liability in what? In wine. Oh, that's a problem. That's a problem, because there the Jew is actively instructing the Akum to pay off the Jew's tax responsibility with the Akum's wine, which is, means the Jew is actively benefiting from Yayin Nesach. But, so both say, the case of our Mishnah is comparable to, or the case, I should say, of Rav is comparable to which case? Aval Omer Lo, Maltini Mina Otsar. Both say, Maltini Mina Otsar literally means, you know what, do me a favor and just pay off from your storehouse. Which I both say means, the Jew is saying, pay with wine, pay with money, I don't care. Just do me a favor, settle up my debt, and I'll settle up with you after. So both say, what comes out from the Sugya is as follows. A Jew could ask an Akum to go ahead and take care of his tax obligation, even though they're both in the industry of wine, as long as the Jew is not actively instructing the Akum to pay with wine. By the time giving the Akum the option, wine, money, I don't care, I'll settle up with you afterwards. If the Jew actively instructs the Akum to pay the tax liability with wine, recognizing that the Akum is going to use his Yayin Nesach, then ultimately, again, that's the Jew actively benefiting from Yayin Nesach, and that will be problematic. Says the Mishnah, Bo says, go back there. Hamokar Yeno Lo'ovid Kochavim. Plus, there's another interesting case. I am selling my wine to an Akum. So we'll say in this case, we have kosher wine, right? I have Jewish wine that I am selling to an Akum. Okay? Seemingly no problem with that, we'll say. There is a problem. So Pasak, listen to this. Pasak Achlamadas. So we'll say, here we go. If we go ahead and we'll say, Pasak means that we came to a price agreement. So if as long as we came to a price agreement, Achlamadad. Before the Akum began pouring my wine into utensils, Achlamadar, it literally means before the wine was measured out, then Damav Mutarin. Then ultimately, again, the proceeds from the sale will be Mutar. Madad Achlo Pasak, but if he began to measure out the wine before we came to a price agreement, then Asurin. Then the proceeds from the sale will be Asurin. I'll say, now what's happening over here? Take a look at Rashi. Hamoch Yenu Lo'ovei Kochavim, Rashi says, first Rashi in the Mishnah, Pasak imam mo, so we'll say if we agreed on a price, ad shelo madad, before we went ahead and measured out any wine, damav mutarin. Ultimately, again, the proceeds of the sale will be mutar. So the Gemara says, so we'll say Rashi tells us already, mefarish be Gemara, taima ika demokila mishum mashicha ba'ovei kochavim hilchach. Zakana, hilchach, kishem adad hainu mashicha, vikanye ovei kochavim. Midi dehavi le Yisrael zuze gabei do avik chavim bava the yayin esach lo havi adin nagabes. Well, so listen to this. As we're going to see in the Gemara in just a moment, we're going to get into the very interesting discussion as to when an akum actually acquires something. The Mishnah seems to say that the akum goes ahead and acquires something from the moment he does mashicha. from the moment he lifts up the barrel, lifts up the wine. Therefore, Rabbi say, once the Akum lifts up the wine belongs to him. Once the wine belongs to him, then it effectively is what? Yayin Esech. Once it's Yayin Esech, then what? Then it's Aser Ba'anah to me. So the problem is, if he lifts it up before we go ahead and we agree on price, then what's the problem? It's Yayin Esech. The money becomes Aser. Therefore, the Gemara says is as follows. Once we go ahead and we agree on price, Rabbi saying, once you agree on price, then what? The Akum owes me money. Once the Akum owes me money, then it's as if I have a halva, as if it's a loan. Meaning that halva, I will say, is independent really of the wine. Therefore, once he picks it up, I don't care about the wine anymore, because we've already established that he owes me a certain amount of money, in which case, again, that the proceeds from the sale will be permitted. So we'll say, so let's see the Gemara. Amra Meimar. What do we see from this Mishnah? Meshicha ba'ovi kochavim ba'ovi kochavim kana. We'll see, what we learn from here is that it is Meshicha, right? We'll say, again, we have all these different discussions in terms of when is metalton, when is movable property acquired. Apparently, when it comes to an Akum, Meshicha affects ownership. So once the Ovid Chachar, we'll say, now Meshicha could be accomplished in a variety of different ways. It could be lifting up. Now, lifting up is more Hagbah than Meshicha, but same general family, pulling it close to him. So Meshicha affects ownership by an Akum. Now look at Rashi Bosai. Meshicha ba'ovikham kona. Afag avdol yoyev ovikham dami li Yisrael. Mashich mine kanye. Vichin Yisrael mi ovikham. So Bosai, even though no money has changed hands, now obviously Meshicha by itself, without an agreement on price, is not going to be effective, right? If an Ovid Kochavim comes over and is Moshech my watch, right? There's only one problem, is that it's not for sale. Obviously, he doesn't acquire it. So what we're saying over here is, once there is a price agreement, even though no money has changed hands, once the Akum does Meshicha on the object, he now owns the object. What about the money? So the money, Abbas says, is considered to be now a halva. It's as if now there's a loan. He owes me the money. He owes me the money. Teida, Abbas says, where do we know this? Says Amemar. The honey parsa is actually interesting, because these Persians, Mishadri pardishani lahadadi, they go out and they send gifts to one another. V'lo hadri buhu. And Abbas says, they never renege on the gifts. Right? The senders never renege on the gifts. So it sounds like what? That once again, the Meshicha has been accomplished, then ultimately, again, you can't renege on the transaction. Look at Rashi. Fellow Hajibu, Hasholchen, Alma b'Meshicha kaninu ha-makabun. So we'll say, I just want to point out, we're not going to get into it now. Rashi has a Lishna Achrino, where ultimately, again, he says, it's not talking about a gift, but rather it's talking about a transaction. Tosas seems to agree with that second Lashon of Rashi. Tosas doesn't like setting this up as a gift. But we'll say, again, we're not going to get into it now, because it's not really all that important for our discussion today. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, the olam emalacham Meshicha wa'ukham inokona. Rav Ashi says, maybe not. Maybe Meshicha is not Kona. The boss say, now, if Meshicha is not Kona by an Akum, then what is Kona? The boss say, what is Kona? Money. Maos Konos. So Rashi says, I bought about the gifts, the Persian gifts. Vahaydelo haji bohu diramos, diramos urucho hu dinakitalu. The boss say, they're very arrogant. The Persians apparently were very arrogant. So therefore, again, once they give gifts, they don't want to demean themselves by asking for it back. But on a technical level, again, you can ask for a gift back, because Meshicha by itself, without a giving of money, does not affect a kinyan. So Lemaisa, we're now in the middle of a machlokes, ultimately again between Amemar and Rav Ashi regarding Meshicha. Amemar saying that by an Akum, Meshicha affects kinyan. Rav Ashi is saying, no, Meshicha does not affect kinyan, it's money that affects the kinyan by an Akum. So we'll say, obviously, that has a ramification for the case of the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Ashi, Minam Minos. So Rav Ashi says, from where do I know that Meshicha does not affect kinyan by an Akum? Where do I know that from? Mido Amar Le Rav Lahano Sabyusa. Because we'll say, Rav said to the Sabyusa, we'll say, our Rashi says, Mokhar Yayin. Rav said to a group of Jewish wine merchants. What did he say to them? Ki kailisu chamra lo'ovdei kochavim. When you go ahead and you sell wine, literally when you sell wine to an akum, shaklu zuzi minayu. Take money from them. Make sure you get paid first. V'hadr kailinu. And then afterwards pour the wine for them. V'ilo, so we'll say, so what is Ravashi saying? Ravashi is saying ultimately again that Rav is saying to these wine merchants, get your money first. They have to pay you first. Why? Because by an akum, ma'os konos, money affects the transaction. And once they paid you, then what? Then you're done. Then effectively you're done. And then pour them the wine. And if for some reason the akum doesn't have money on him, which we'll say would not be crazy, people probably bought on credit all of the time. So what does Rav tell the Jewish merchant to do? Osfinhu, lend the akum money. Vahadir shakilu minayu. So meaning, lend him the money, let him pay you, and then what happens? And let him owe you the money as a debt. In other words, what Rav is saying is, if you're dealing with an akum with wine, get cash. Get cash. Get paid, because then once you get paid, you don't have to worry about anything regarding Yayin Nesech. And even if the akum has no money on him, give him money. Give him money. Let him pay you. And then ultimately, again, he'll owe you the money as a debt. So the Gemara says, De'ilo abedet tuachi, because if you don't do this, ki kahavi Yayin Nesech bir shusaychu kahavi. Ultimately, again, the wine could transform into Yayin Nesech while it is still in your rishos. And ultimately, again, when you get the proceeds from the sale, you're getting proceeds from the sale of Yayin Esach, which of course is exceptionally problematic. So the Gemara says, remember again, this is Rav's statement. Rav Ashi is bringing this down as a proof to his position. Remember, what does Rav Ashi hold? Rav Ashi holds that Mashiach doesn't work by an akum, it's money which affects Kenyan. So here you see an explicit instruction of Rav to the wine merchants, get the money. Get the money. And if you hold that Mashiach works by an akum, we'll say, Amud Beis, then me demashcha obi kochavim kanye, yayin esech lo havi ad denogabe. We'll say, then if that's the case that Mashiach works, then what? As soon as the akum picks up the wine, then what do we say? He acquires it. I will say, now the moment he acquires it, it doesn't become yayin esech. When does it become Yayin Esach? Yayin Esach lohavi ad dinogabe. Both say it's only Yayin Esach when he touches it. Look at Rashi. Midemashche ovi kochavim b'mida kanye va'afakak lo yoev zuzi v'havi du zuzi haval gabe mikamei dinahavi Yayin Esach v'halohavi Yayin Esach ad shenogabe v'afilu ilo shak li zuzi ma'as. So let's listen to this. So again, if Mashiach works, and it's a very simple idea, let the ovi kocham do Mashiach on the barrel of wine, it becomes his. But say, once it's his, we're done. The money now is owed to me by the Akum as a halva, it's a loan, it's like an outstanding debt. It doesn't become Yayin Esach until when? Until he actively touches the wine. So we'll say, so you see from here, obviously what? You see from here, that Lamaise again, Mashiach is not Kona, to which the Gemara says, no. Idaka Kail Varami Lamana. Amen. So the Gemara says as follows. If indeed the Akum was pouring wine into the utensils of a Yisrael, in other words, if he was taking it, so we'll say, the way it normally worked is as follows. I'm a wine merchant, I have barrels. People often weren't buying barrels of wine, they were buying smaller amounts of wine. So you'd come to the store, you'd pour off from the barrel into your smaller utensil. Say if we say that the akum is pouring from the barrel of the wine into a small little utensil of the Yisrael, hachinami, then in hachinami you would be right, you could be kona. Lo tzricha, dika kayo verami lemana do ovid kochalim. We'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where the akum is taken from the barrel of the Yisrael, and he's pouring into his own utensil. The Rebbe will say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. The mana do ovid kochalim, last of the long lines on top, Dayon diayin shebekli osro. We'll say, what's happening over here? He's pouring it into his own utensil. We'll say, now the assumption is in his utensil, what does he have in there already? There are droplets of Yayin Esach already there. As such, again, the wine becomes Yayin Esach even before Mashiach can be performed. Sof, kimata la'avira demanakanya. But I don't understand. Still, when he's pouring the wine from the utensil of the Yisrael to his own utensil, it becomes his, when Rabbi Osei, as soon as it gets into the airspace of his kli. Yayin Esach lohavi ad demata la'ar'i'isa demana. Rabbi Osei, ultimately, it only becomes Yayin Esach when? Only when it gets to the bottom of the kli. Why does it become Yayin Esach when it gets to the bottom of the Kirabo Sai? Because that's where the droplets of the Yayin Esach are. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. Really, the Akum should acquire the wine as soon as it comes into the airspace of the Kli, before it becomes Yayin Esach. Right now, obviously, we're talking about a matter of whatever it is, nanoseconds. But Lamais, again, there is that time where it's in the airspace of the Kli before it hits the bottom of the Kli. Shema Mina, Bosei, what do we see from here? The fact that that's not a possibility, that tells us what? Shema Mina, Nitzok Chibor. Bosei, obviously, we're saying that what? The flow itself is a connection. In other words, the fact that it's flowing altogether and there's part of the flow that hits the bottom, that's connected to the flow that's in the airspace. That connects everything and makes it all instantaneously into Yayin Esach. To which the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily. If the Ovid Kochavim ultimately again was holding the Kli in his hand, then Einachinami, you would be right. Lo tzricha demanech a'ara. We'll say, what's the case over here? Where the utensil is sitting on the ground. Sitting on the ground. V'tikni lei Kli. Caleb, I'm sorry. So we'll say, so why don't we say that the Kli itself should acquire it on behalf of the Akum? Shamis mina kelov shalokiach birshus mocher lo kana. But so what do you see from here? You see from here that the utensil of the Akum, which is situated where Rabosai? In the store of the Yisrael, does not have the ability to go out and make Rabosai. Remember this from our Gittin days? Okay, we actually started in Bab Metzil also. Kelov shalokiach birshus mocher was a fundamental shayla about the ability of the utensils of a purchaser, of a buyer, to acquire on his behalf when they are situated in the reshus of the seller. So you see from here that ultimately, again, it doesn't work. To which the Gemara says, lo, the olam eim lecha kana lokeach. In reality, I would say normally, kelev shalokeach reshus mocher has the ability to acquire. So what's the case here? I will say, v'alcha mayaskinon, kigon di'ika akvas yayin apuma dekuznasa. So we'll say, listen to this. What's the case of Osai? Where there's some wine, we're talking about a utensil, Osai that has a lip, and there is some wine by the lip of the utensil. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Akafte Yayin, Rashi says, Ognayim Yesh Bekele Shal Avikam. Osai, the case over here is where there is Ognayim. Ognayim literally means handles or a lip. So what does that mean? Yesh Bekele Shal Avikam. Shemes Akiv Hayayin Al Piv. We're talking about a case over here where what? Where ultimately, again, where there is some wine, the utensil itself has a little bit of a lip, which means that there are droplets from previous wine still on the lip. We'll say, what's the status of those droplets? Those droplets are Yayin Nesech. So we'll say, we've been presupposing this entire time that when the wine is poured from the barrel of the Jew into the utensil of the Akum, when does it become Yayin Esach? Only when? When it hits the bottom. Now what we're suggesting is no. It actually becomes Yayin Esach, we'll say, already when? Already when it first enters into the Kli, because there are droplets of Yayin Esach already situated on the lip of the utensil itself. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, the Kuznasa, Pach Kitana Mechavis, Kedara Moed, Kan, Zuvsin Kuzna, Vein Zuvsin Chavisim Mumna. So I will say, ultimately, again, we're talking about a case over here where this small utensil that belongs to the Akum, that the wine of the Israel is being poured into, I will say, what? Has a lip. On that lip, ultimately, again, are droplets of Yayin Nesach. And therefore, again, as the wine is poured from the utensil of the Yisrael into the utensil of the Akum, it becomes Yayin Nesach already instantaneously. So in other words, we'll say, what we're trying to figure out is, why should there be a problem of Yayin Nesach? Because why? The utensil of the Akum should acquire on his behalf, and the utensil has the ability to acquire before what? Before it becomes Yayin Nesach. In other words, we'll say, remember again, here's what we were operating with. It doesn't become Yayin Nesach until when? Until when? Until it hits the bottom of the Kli, and what? The utensil has the ability to acquire on behalf of the Akum even earlier, because the utensil has the ability, potentially, has the ability to acquire on behalf of the Akum as soon as the wine comes into the airspace of the utensil. And therefore, again, if we're operating with the idea of Kalev Shalokeach, Akona B'Shus Mocher, that the utensils of a purchaser could acquire on his behalf such a Vosai, that if I come into a store and I put my utensil down on the ground, and I'm pouring something into my utensil, that utensil could almost operate as what? Like what? like a, almost like a chaser. And it ultimately has the ability to operate like a chaser. Therefore, when I'm pouring the wine into it, it has the ability to occur on my behalf. I've also said, now the chap is, it should be able to occur on my behalf even before the wine becomes yayin esech. Because the wine doesn't become yayin esech until when? Until it hits the bottom of the kli. But yet the acquisitory power of the utensil is there as soon as the wine enters into the airspace. So really, what we're trying to figure out is, I should be able to sell the wine to the Akum without any problems of yayin nesech, even if Mashiach doesn't take place, even if transfer of money doesn't take place, because ultimately, again, the wine enters into the airspace of his utensil before it becomes yayin nesech. To which the Gemara is framing the case of Osei as a utensil that has droplets of wine on the lip of the utensil, which means what? The wine becomes yayin nesech even before it enters into the airspace of the kli. So because of that, Rav Osei, unless, of course, there is an exchange of money on the front end, I'm going to be in trouble and I'm going to be stuck with not being able to get benefit from the proceeds of a transaction dealing with yayin nesech. So the Gemara says, v'acham ha'eskin, so again, one more time, you can go in the ika, ak v'syayin apume de kuznasa. The issue we're dealing with over here is that there are droplets of yayin esach on the lip of the utensil, the kama kama in sichle. Ultimately, again, every drop that comes in becomes yayin esach. So the Gemara says, ukiman, and I will say, whose opinion does this reflect? Now look at Rashi, kiman, hadam rav, lemishkal dami beresha, mikamei dinisar bahiyakavar. I will say, so again, whose opinion? So remember, when Rav said, you have to get the money on the front end, we'll say, remember again, we're dealing with a machlokis, a neymar, and Ravashi, about in general, again, what affects a transaction with an Akum. Amemar says, Mashicha, Ravashi says, money. What's Ravashi's proof for money, Abosai? Because Rav said to the wine merchants, what? What? Get the money. Get the money. Before you do any transfer of product, get the money. And if the Akum doesn't have money, what should you do? Well, give him money. Give him funds, advance him funds, let him pay you for the wine. And then he owes you a side debt. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, whose opinion does this not reflect? Ukiman, to look at Rav Shimon Gamliel. We'll say, because why? This whole thing is not in conformance with the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel. We'll say, what does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Dear Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Ha'omar, Yimachar Kula Lo'ovde Kochavim, Chutz Midme Yayin Nesech Shebar. We'll say, remember again, Rav Shimon Gamliel, we'll say, was the opinion that we quoted earlier on, that if Yayin Nesech falls into a bar, falls into the cistern of wine, owned by a Jew, Shimon Gamliel says the Jew could sell the wine, but yet he takes out the value of the Yayin Nesech that fell in, and Yolich Hanol Yam HaMelech, he just destroys. So Shimon Gamliel holds, so I will say, you can get benefit from Yayin Nesech mixed in with Jewish wine, you just have to discard the value of the Jew, of the Yayin Nesech. Rashi says, the look of Shimon Gamliel, was it literally right across in Rashi, Diktani Mastisin Yayin Nesech Shanafal Abar, Kulo Aser. Remember again that Rabbanan said that when Yayin Esach falls into a vat of wine, the entire vat is Aser. Shengalim Lomer, Yimachar Kulo Lo Ovde Kochavim, the entire wine, right? Everything could be sold to an Akum. Chutz Midime Yayin Esach Shabo. We'll say ultimately again, with the exception of the value of the Yayin Esach in it. Alma, Mishum Taroves Yayin Esach Lo Misar Bahano, Chamer Di Yisrael. Shimon seems to say you can get benefits from a mixture of Yayin Nesach. You just have to what? You have to discard the value of the Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara says, Midihu Taima Elo L'Rav. So we'll say again, remember, who are we trying to figure out? Who should we try to figure out? Rav. Ha'amar Rav, Alacha Krab Shimon Gamliel. We'll say, yet Rav himself said that Alacha Vazor Shimon Gamliel. If that's the case, then why is Rav ultimately instructing? Why is Rav instructing the wine merchants to get their money first? And as we both say, what's the worst case scenario? If some Yayin Nesach gets mixed in, all you need to do is what? Discard the value of the Yayin Nesach, and the rest of the proceeds are mutter. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. So the Gemara says, Hamar Rav Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chavis B'Chavis. We'll say, Rav says, when does Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita Par? We'll say, when you have barrels which get mixed together. So if you have some barrels of Yayin Nesach that get mixed in with barrels of what we call Jewish wine, then what? Then Abbasi, figure out how many Yayin Nesach barrels got mixed in, and you discard that value. But if active wine of Yayin Nesach gets mixed in with what, Abbasi? Jewish wine? Rav does not pass the Rav Shimon Gamliel that you could discard the value of the wine. Rather, what? all of the wine becomes aser. That's why Rav says, Rabosai, so Rabosai says, this is actually interesting. So it's another, it's a further distinction in the Shita of Shem and Gamliel. So Rav will say, I pass like Rav Shem and Gamliel when barrels get mixed together. So discard the value of the barrel of Yayin Esech wine, and the value of the rest of the barrels become mutter. But when wines themselves get mixed together, Rav will say the mixture becomes aser. So Maisi, Rabosai, so again, we're still in the throes of this machlokus between Ravashi and a meimar about what affects kinyan with an apple. So Meisi, I will say, we raise a kasha. We saw this case before. Halokeach krutos mina obde kochavim umatza behen avodos kochavim. Supposed to listen to this. I buy scraps of silver, silver scraps, from an akum. And I will say, what do I find in the midst of the silver scraps that I bought, that I purchased? I find an idol. I find mamisha pes, I find an idol. So what's the halacha? Im achlo nasan maos mashach. So we'll say, if I didn't yet give the money, even though I took possession, yachzir, I can give back the silver. I can give back the avodah zara, and I let the akum. We'll say now again, what could the akum do with it? So the simplest thing is, I say to the akum, listen, you sell it and give me the money for it. However, imi shenasan maos mashach yolech yamamelach. Rabosai, if I went ahead and I took possession of it and gave money, then what? Then ultimately, again, I cannot benefit from the value of the idol. So Rabosai, so what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, again, it's all dependent on what? The transfer of funds. To which the Gemara says, Isak daitcha mishicha wav kacham kone. Rabosai, remember again, if you say that mishicha is what affects transaction with an akum, then amai yachzir. So Rabosai, case number one, even though I didn't yet give the money, I already did mishicha. If you tell me that mishicha affects the transaction, then what? Then that means I own the idol. Rabosai, once I own the idol, then what? Then what? It's asher ba'ana. Even though I didn't yet give the money, if you're telling me that mishicha affects the transaction, in case number one, I own the idol, which means even if I give it back to the akum, the proceeds of that sale should be asher. So the Gemara says, "Isa that mishicha ba v'kum kana ma'yachzir." Amra Abaye, Abaye says, "I'll tell you why." Mishum de mechse ke mekachtos. So we'll say Rashi takes out the word mechse. Rashi just says mekachtos. Why? We'll say because when it turns out that I bought silver scraps, I did not buy idolatry. When it turns out that's what? That there's an idol mixed in there, I will say, that's what? That's a mekachtos. That's a mistaken sale. Therefore, I have the right to give back the object, the idol, to the akum. Say, listen, you take care of this. I didn't agree to buy this. Let the akum sell it off and give me the proceeds from the sale. Amar Rava, Rava says, 1 second. Reisha mekachtos, seif alav mekachtos. That doesn't make sense. So I will say, if that's the case, that should apply in the second case as well. I will say, what's the second case? The second case is where I took possession of the silver scraps, and I also paid the money. So we'll say, so what did the Brisa say in that case? In that case, so the idol is going to be asher ba'ana to me, but I don't understand. That's also a case of mekachtos. So I should be able to give him back the idol, let him sell it, and give me the funds. Ela Amar Rav, I'll tell you the difference. Reisha v'seifa mekachtos. In reality, both the Reisha and the Sefer will say, both the case of mekachtos, a mistaken sale. So why is it in case number one, I can go ahead and get my money back, but in case number two, I can't? The Reisha de lo yoyev zuzei, so we'll say in case number one, in the Reisha, where all I did is, I did Mashicha, but I didn't yet give the Akum money, to lo mischaze ka'avodos kochav miyad Yisrael. So then we'll say, it doesn't have the appearance of Jewish-owned idolatry. When it doesn't have the appearance of Jewish-owned idolatry, then what? I can give the silver idol back to the Akum, and what? Let him take care of it and give me the proceeds. Seifa, the Yoav Zuzi, Mischaze Ka'avodos Kachav Miyad Yisrael. This is actually quite interesting. In the Seifa, what's the Seifa case, Rabosai? Where I went ahead and I purchased the silver scraps from the Akum, and what did I do, Rabosai? I gave him money, and I took possession. See, Rabosai, once I give him money, and I take possession, then what? It has the appearance as mine, as I own it. If I were to go back and give him back the silver idol, and he were to go ahead and give me back money, I will say, what does that look like? That looks like I, the Jew, am selling idolatry to the Akum. That's going to be a problem. So there's a Maris Ayin issue. There's a Maris Ayin issue. And therefore, Rabosai, the halacha is, it becomes Asher Ba'ano. Amalei Marka Shishibrei Drev Chisra Vashi. Tashma. So once again, we're still in the same discussion. Does Mashicha affect a kinyan with an Ovei Kochavim or not? Tashma. Hamocher Yenelo Ovei Kochavim. Rabosai, if a Jew sells his wine to an Akum, pasak ad shalom mada. So we'll say this is our Mishnah. If we agreed on a price before the akum measured out the wine, damav mutarin. Ultimately, again, the proceeds of the seller mutar. Ve'i amrit mishicha ba'ovik kochavim enakona. And if you hold your bow, say that mishicha does not affect the kinyan. Amai damav mutarin. Then why ultimately again should the money be permitted? So we'll say, what's the case over here? So again, that makes sense if you hold that Mashiach affects Kenyan. So therefore, as long as what? As long as you go ahead and we decide on the amount of the sale is solidified before the wine becomes Yayin Nesach, and then Mashiach could happen afterwards. But if you hold that what? If you hold that Mashiach does not affect Kenyan, then ultimately again, why should the proceeds be mutter? To which the Gemara says, Hacham Askin, I will say, what's the case over here? What's the case? The Akum Leidinar. Oh, Rabbi said the case over here is where the Akum prepaid. So Rabbi said he prepaid. So what does it mean he prepaid? He gave me a dinar. Now Rabbi said the case over here is where the one thing is clear, which is I'm definitely not selling him a dinar of wine. He prepaid. He prepaid the amount. And he gave me more than ultimately, again, what the value of the sale is going to be. And he says to me, essentially, here's the money. We'll settle up the difference later on. Look at Rashi. Sheikh Dimlo Dinar, Sheikh Dimlo, Venosan Lo Mos, Yosef Michde Dime Hayayin, Achiv Saka Damim, Yachser Lo Yisra Samosa. So we'll say, so watch this. So the Gemara says, Ihaki, if that's the case, here's where the Akum prepaid. Ihaki, Ima Seifa, if that's the case, what about the Seifa? Madad Achelo Pasak, if ultimately, again, so the Akum went ahead and measured out the wine before we agreed on a price. Damavasur. Ultimately, again, the proceeds are aser. Vi'i dekadim le'dinar. But also, if we're talking about a case where what? Where the Akum prepaid for the sale of the wine, so amai damavasur. Ultimately, again, why should the proceeds be aser? And according to you, who says that Mashiach acquires Amai Resha Dam of Mutarin, the Seifa Dam of Asurin? Why is it that in the Resha of the Mishnah Bosai, the money is permitted, but in the Seifa it's going to be Asur? Elamai Istachalamemar. Rather, we'll say, what do you have to say? Pasak Samcha Daite. Ultimately, again, where there is an agreement on the sale price, so everyone commits themselves to the transaction. Lo pasak lo samcha daite. If there was not an agreement on the sale price, then ultimately, again, the parties do not agree to the transaction. Lididinami, so too, according to me, when there was a dinar of money advanced, lididinami, afa gav de kadim le dinar, even though a dinar was advanced, pasak samcha daite. When they agree on the price, ultimately, again, the transaction is binding. Lo pasak lo samcha daite. But ultimately, again, if they did not agree on a price, then the transaction ultimately, again, is not binding. Look at Rashi Rabosai. Samcha daite lemikne b'mashicha. Lo pasak kodem mashicha. So Rabosai, the same way, if you hold that mashicha's kona, mashicha's only kona one, Rabosai. When? When there is an agreement on price, right? That's smichas das. So too, again, even if you hold that the money affects the transaction, money only affects the transaction when, Rabosai, when there is a smichas das. If there's not an agreement on the terms of the transaction, then ultimately, again, neither money nor mashicha ultimately, again, will be binding. So we'll have to stop over here for today, but we're stopping still in the midst of the machlokas. We have no resolution yet. What we're still left with ultimately is the raging debate between Amemar and Ravashi. Does mashicha affect kinyan with an akum? Amemar saying yes. That's why, again, even if no money has changed hands, as long as there is an agreement on price, so ultimately, again, the transaction is settled, then the Akum could do his Mashicha and Shalom al Yisrael. According to Rav Ashi, no, Mashicha does not affect Kinyan with an Akum, only money affects Kinyan with Akum. We'll say the resolution of that Machlokas, we'll see tomorrow. We'll say Mazel Tov to Shmuel and Shira Artman on the occasion of the bris of their son this morning. B'Sha'a Tova U'Mitzlachas, Shebizokha Lach Nisa B'Visa Sha'ar Mavim B'Smano. Mazel Tov.